Arts Festival?
It's the American College
Theater Festival.
Honestly, I forgot the C and I was like, oh no.
I was like, every night, this is the night his first year as a vice chair, right?
Yes.
And one of his jobs is he would assign adjudicators, and he would always pick the show that he wanted to go first, and he picked you guys.
I was looking at the list of who I needed to respond to when that came in. I was like, yeah, that's the one I'm going to do. I love this show.
He's a director, and he wrote his dissertation on Naomi Wallace.
That's right. You learned a lot at dinner.
and other things that I'm not going to talk about.
Okay. indeed. So I want to start. You guys are really familiar with ACTF, right, and how this process works. So I just want to cursory say that yes, this is tied to the festival that we have coming up in 2 weeks. But the heart of what the region is about and why we do this is right here, is having this little conversation about your work, right? I'm not an expert. This is not about whether or not I liked it or didn't like it. It's about having, for me, it's about having a conversation about work, a set of fresh eyes on your work. And I'm just someone who does what you do, so I can kind of pick up what you're laying down and we can talk about, you know, the things that we like in the show. Don't change your performance. Don't do anything differently at all. I just want to have a conversation about some of the things that I saw. I thought it was beautiful. I thought I am amazed. Still, I can't get over the rhythm and pacing and movement, the direction of the piece. I thought this was really. And you've done your homework. There was constant movement, and it was framed in around these moments of stillness, right? So there was this movement that's necessary in this alley type theater. There's this magical realism thing going on, and it occurred to me, I walk in the door, the first thing is the saxophone, right? Live music, I'm sold. So sign me up, I'm here. And then the sound playing, the dogs howling, the wind blowing, right? Just, there's a nice textured layer and attention. Is the sound designer here?
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
Sound designer, stage manager, and assistant director.
Well, you know.
In this semester?
Too many.
Good job. The other thing I really want to know, because I short-circuited all the way through the piece because of it, and it had to have been intentional. It was the placement of these mirrors, right? I'm looking in a mirror and I'm not seeing myself, and no matter how I shift in that mirror, I can't see myself. And I found so there's that disconnect, right, of the mirror. The other thing that I thought was you monopolized on really well, which was when there were moments happening over here, and it was more fun to watch them from here, where you had one person live and watching a reflection. It was nice, it was constant, it was back and forth, and it didn't interrupt the narrative. It wasn't a heavy-handed director choice, right? It fit with what the piece does, And I thought it was great. I thought, in terms of an audience member, a lot of floor work with the cat and coyote in the beginning forced me to use those mirrors to watch and see what was going on. So as an audience member, my focus was constantly shifting, and I could never look in the mirror and see myself. So there was this constant thought of, wait a minute, I'm sitting there and I can see these people over here who I'm sure are sitting over there looking at me. So that sense of voyeurism, right, is interrupted, it's short-circuited in the piece, and I appreciated that in the construction of the event. I mean, after your pre-show announcement and as you were talking at dinner, I was expecting way more violence. It didn't bother me at all. It worked. It flowed right in. I didn't find it difficult to watch, even though I knew there were people watching me watch the violence, right? That it didn't bother me at all. It worked, and it became its own language system in the piece, right? And it really spoke, and you saw that mirrored with the coyote and the cat. You see it in the first act, and then you see that, I think it's in act three, where it gets mirrored in Gabriella and Benito. I think it really worked for me. Let's see. So let's talk about the language, or I'm going to talk about the language, and maybe you'll interrupt me and talk as well. This is a tough piece poetically, right? I mean, it's heightened language. It's very flowery and it's very poetic. And I think there's a fine line when you're dealing with this heightened, surrealistic kind of text, magic realism more so than surrealism, between being honest to the text and being truthful as the character, right? And I think one of two things happens when you fall off that, right? When you fall off the delivery of this highly poetic text, either it becomes forced, right? Or it becomes unsupported in the actor breath, right? And for me, there were a few places with every character where it felt unsupported, right? But in no cases did it go the other way and become forced, right? If that makes sense. And saying that, 90-95% of it, I thought you hit it right on. I mean, this is textually, it's a very, very difficult piece, and I appreciated the attention to the rhythms in the piece, physically reflected vocally. So, and I made this note. It was definitely in Act One, and the moon had a monologue, so it had to be Act One, right? It had to be Act One.
Yeah.
Where Gabriella is on stage with someone, so it can't be you because you're not in Act One, so it must be you. Yeah, it must be the two of you, you two, were on stage while the moon is delivering this monologue. And there were moments where the physical action punctuated the text, and there were moments where it ignored the text, right? And I think that was smart, right? Neither one dominated, right? And I think with some exploration, there were places, and there were a few places where it would match, and there was like the touch on the thigh or whatever, and it would happen right at a punctuation mark, and it would punctuate what the moon was saying. And I thought that was, again, it was just a really nice nuance. It was some of that detailed stuff that we were talking about at dinner. And I saw it and I was like, oh, that's the detail. And it was nice attention. That was smart attention. I thought the moments of connection were not only really clear in the moments of touch and in the moments of violence, but also in the moments of emotional vulnerability. A connection that the actors were making. Even when you had one actor over here and one actor over here, and you took that mirror away from me, and I was forced, because neither one was in the mirror, and I was forced to not rely on the mirror. I really liked that choice too, and that was in Act Four, I think. That really good use of movement and stillness. Consonant energy is something I always will mention. About four times, I found myself just like a beat behind the text, and it was either a breathy delivery line from actors, or it was a consonant at the end of a word that dropped that I didn't get, right? 4 weeks, don't worry about it. I mean, just keep it on your radar, right? As something to always listen for. Because as directors, I think we do a really, I think, innate job of being the ultimate audience member in watching, and sometimes not so much with listening, because we know the text so well, right? And so learn and tune that muscle to listen for the first time the way you watch for the first time. Does that make sense? Okay. It was just breathtaking. You know, costumes, they were fine, they worked. There was no costume designer, I'm assuming you pulled from wherever.
He has also the costume designer.
No, Casey did the costume design.
They were fine. I didn't worked, do that. You know, student production, low budget, it totally worked completely. There was, you know, class with the moon, you know, the 14-year-old douchebag, right, the military guy. I respond sometimes with folks in the costumers, and they're like, oh, that Marine guy, you know, that Army guy, his pants were rolled up, and they would be rolled up, you know, whatever. That's a minor detail that, in the context of where we, right, it was just such a gift to be here and see the show, that those, you know, small details, you're like, gosh, I wonder if he's going to say, well, yeah, I just said it, so I guess I noticed it, but it didn't bother me at all. You look so much more, Benito, you look so much more smaller than you do when you're on stage. Is the costume?
I'm a very docile person. I'm very docile.
That might be it, because you had this energy and anger on stage. And it's weird seeing you, chill and fly like a boulder kid. It really is a contrast to the physical work that I thought was neat. I love that there was such earnest exploration and risk taking, right? This opening moment with the coyote, right? This breath work. Orgasm into the howl at the beginning of the show, that totally cashed my check. I loved it from start to finish. It was a sign of what was to come, right? It really prepared me for it, and it really helped set the mood. And it was also, I'm not disparaging the saxophone because I dug it, but I loved that it was an actor's instrument making the noise, right? Mm-hmm. There was nice, full use of the instrument there. And it was hot. I was like, oh my, that's a dog. Yeah, I didn't even work at it. I know the show, and I knew, I hadn't heard that or seen that before, so it was new. And it was, it was hot, exactly like you expect these hot, surrealistic nights on the desert, right? This cat creeping around, right? Your ass, moving over here by this, seeing the dog hissing. I mean, it was sexually charged the same way that a streetcar named Desire is sexually charged, right? Like, I really appreciate the attention to that and the commitment from the cat and the coyote in that moment, right? Because that's always hard for audiences to swallow. Oh, look, talking animals. Why am I watching it live? Disney does it better. but it worked here, right? It really worked, and it was hot, and it was cats and dogs, and they were in heat, and it was animalistic, and it's just reflected in each piece of this piece. And again, I'll just go back to how much the movement really drove the piece forward, and just kept the pace going. I never was exhausted, right? But I was on the edge of my seat watching. One of the things I always look for when I'm in a theater is where's did they take the clock down, right? Like, is the clock on the wall? Because it's always a reminder that, theater's temporal, it's all real time, right? Mm-hmm. This is an acting studio, I get it, you got to know when class is over. I didn't find myself looking at the clock, and when I did, it was always 3 or 4 minutes before the end of the act. And both times I was like, wow, like that, time stopped for me tonight when I was watching it. And that's a compliment when I say time stopped. Like, I was really just so caught up in the story and the commitment, in the earnest of it. I thought there was an interesting choice to put the bed all the way over here, right? I get it, you didn't want it reflected in the mirrors. I get it as a choice. And when I say interesting choice, I liked it because this is such a small space and it's not set up. I mean, this is not beginning directing, right? This alley setup is difficult to work in. And I think the choice to put that moment over here somehow made this space even smaller, right? So when we weren't just over here, right? When we Gabriella broke out over here, right? The space all of a sudden got bigger. And somehow it got even bigger in Act 4 and in Act 1 when we're out on the desert, right? I just thought you had really good attention to the limitations of the space. You really used them to your advantage. And then I think, oh gosh, I could talk forever, but I'm down to, okay. So here's like one more thing that really took my breath away, and then something to chew on that I want to mention. And the thing that took my breath away was Gabriella's monologue about reaching into Benito's mouth, right? That whole monologue. Girl, you nailed it. I mean, completely. It was such a beautiful mix of metaphor and emotion. That was the moment where I felt the most truth on stage was that monologue. I mean, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And it was definitely your delivery, but it was also the way your partners on stage were listening to it, right? They were giving you good light. And it was a gelled moment that really, really worked for me. And it sets up this great comic relief. This 14-year-old douchebag. I mean, largely comic relief, right? And it worked. I'm wondering about, or something I noticed, and again, it's the last note I wrote, so it was the very end, so I was kind of thinking like, all right, how do I give CEU Boulder money's worth and give them something to think about? And what I thought was, that there were some moments, this moment about reaching into Benito is not one of those moments, where some of the monologues, because it's that magic realism heightened language, it's difficult. And I thought you really handled them well, right? That's, I want to make sure you understand that I thought you handled it really well. I thought there could have been moments where the breath that the cat and the coyote have, right? Where is that emotion that comes through breath stitched into those long, beautiful, poetic monologues that take your breath away when you hear them, but do they take characters' breath away when they speak them? And it's a challenge because if you do it the whole time, then it becomes, oh, I'm waxing poetic, and this is so lovely, beautiful language, and the audience is having a snoozer, and you're, you know, gilding the lily and being indulgent out here, and you didn't do that, right? I don't know, I really liked it. I loved the use of the mirrors. I thought that was really inventive. You know, the moon, the saxophone. really, really.
I have to apologize, and that could be because of my English. I actually am not sure what you meant when you said what you just said. I think I get it, but I'm not sure I do. And
about waxing poetic?
Waxing poetic about the breathing. Like,
No, I'm glad you asked, and I love that. I always forget that English is not your first language. And you asked me that at Wojciech last year, and I was like, what are you talking about? The cat and the coyote conveyed a lot of emotion just by the way they breathed in and out, into breath to convey emotion, right? And the actors, because they have these long, really poetic monologues where rhythm and pacing is so important, right? If they were, you know, and I don't want to say slowed down, because I don't think you can slow this down. I think you're dead if you start slowing this down. I think you've got to keep it going, right? We accept the images, we accept the conventions. But if the actors that have the, and all of you do, you have these long monologues where you talk about they're sensual, they're sexual, they talk about yearning. If they had that same attention to emotional breath that the Cat and Coyote used. Does that make sense?
Okay, so,
I think what it does is it helps, I think what it might do is it might help us see the connection between the Cat and Gabriella and the Coyote and Benito through the piece. Does that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to
no,
you?
No, it does.
Whole bullshit if you want to. Totally fine. You're not going to have to help me. That's just what I noticed in watching this. And you looked like you were confident. You know, you certainly you were in control of your instruments. There was an attention to the piece as a whole, to the unity of the whole, and how magic realism works. One of the things we talked about at dinner was the different worlds in Acts 1 and 4 and Acts 2 and 3, and I thought you guys knocked that out of the park. To me, it was solid. It totally worked. You're talking to somebody who knows Jose Rivera's work and totally buys all of these conventions. I'm like, of course I'm going to talk. He's talking to your world, he talks to my world. But I really liked it. I liked the use of the space. I liked the attention to detail. I loved the pacing of the piece, not only vocally, but also physically throughout. The intermission cue was wonky. How's that for a picky note, right? You're like, oh, it's time for a break now, right? It's the only like really wonky thing, but you know, what do you do? I mean, you're not gonna turn on the fluorescent lights to let people know it's intermission, right? That was the only thing where I was like, yeah, okay, it's intermission, right? But I thought it was fantastic from start to finish, from walking up these stairs, coming in, the whole event. I don't think you needed any more set pieces than you did. I think it was, the design certainly supported what was going on, right? This is not a show about the design, right? This is, or this event is not about the design, right? This event is about the words and the relationships. And I thought the design supported that. I was a little confused by the white box. I don't know.
Oh my god!
No, I just mentioned it. But explain, is it the whole of the end of the mattress?
Yeah, so we're halfway through our right at the end of our rehearsal.
Sure.
The bed broke.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right, $50, nine lights. Got it. Totally fine. Right, but it also reminded me, you know, I was in a shitty house in the desert. She doesn't care, she's here by herself. She's like, the only thing in the refrigerator's cat food, right? It's fine. It didn't, maybe it did distract because I mentioned it or I noticed it, but, what? Yeah, exactly, whatever, right? Don't let, oh, that's a bad asshole, and don't pick it up box or whatever. No, I mean, I thought the work was really quite competent and lovely, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Good.
Do you guys have questions or anything that you want to say? I mean, you guys did this quick, right? Yeah. I mean, you started on Martin Luther King Day or the day after Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah, wow.
I'm still trying to figure out the names of the students in my classes this semester. We got a show up and running, right? That's impressive. Yeah. What do you have to say?
I had a question about, so you're talking a little bit about breath support.
Yeah.
I'm curious if the groveliness in my voice, if that detracted at all from the clearness, if it like made it not pop as much or?
No, in fact, I wanted more. One of the first notes I wrote down was the Coyote is talking from his mask. Like you talked from the Coyote from up here, so you had the gravelly, right?
Yeah.
It worked. Whereas I think I could have had more chest voice, more gravelly, right? Like more. We're getting real picky here.
Oh,
it was fine.
Awesome.
But Yeah, I would say that. What else? Okay. What else?
Yeah. Something I'm always curious is during the beginning, especially during the Cat and Coyote scene, when I'm up there behind the mirror, I really am trying to complement the scene with the saxophone, because basically the whole show is improvised aside from one or two themes that I've worked out through the rehearsal process, and I just want to know if, like, it complemented or distracted you personally from anything.
I think I have to say that it really matched what was going on, because it didn't distract at all. In fact, what was distracting, and it was an intentional distraction, was when I didn't have the music, when I didn't have the Howling Wind, right? Those were the moments where I was like, oh, all I have is the language now, right? It was so smoothly integrated into what was going on. Right? There were a couple of things in the beginning, in the pre-show, again, let's be really picky, where you had your sheet music out, right? And you were like, oh, and we're gonna go to this song now, right? Whatever, I can't play saxophone like that. Like, really good job, right?
Okay.
But because I did not know it was all improvised. So it worked very well throughout the whole piece, especially in that steamy scene between, yeah, I mean, it was nice. It was nice. Where was sitting with a cat?
The neighbor
that
cat?
The neighbor one.
Pinky Garcia.
Pinky Garcia, yeah. That all, you know, all through there. Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I think it worked. And I'm a sucker for live music underscore, right? It works so much better than candy music, because you're there, you're playing in the scene, you're a part of the conversation, right? This is a scene in the moonlight. It's a way for the moonlight to be in the scene, to speak to the scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would add that it actually, at first it was kind of strange when there's music in the background, but it really helps sometimes set the rhythm for a lot of our lines, because it almost when it abruptly stops, because it's like a very, it like builds up, and there's a sex scene going on, and then it doesn't, and it stops. And it actually, to me, it helped me quite a lot to just,
sure.
Like, this is like a very abrupt, like, all right, this is
sure.
It, so.
Mm. Did you try, I'm just asking, I don't know, this just occurred to me just now. Did you try muting the saxophone in here? Because it's such a small space, right? The saxophone is such a loud instrument.
So a saxophone, unlike a brass instrument, can't really be muted.
Okay.
I did play as softly as I can.
Well, and that was fine, because I never found myself going, would the saxophone stop so I could hear the actors, right? That never happened, ever. Right, so that worked together, but it is a loud instrument, and we are in a tiny space. So you answered my question. You were just playing as softly as you could. Yeah, and your lips got tired, huh?
Yeah, that pre-show kind of kills me a little.
Tonight there was a laugh. She came over to tell you. I think you were telling him like, okay, we're ready to start, and then you started playing again, and the audience was laughing because we could
stop
see.
Later.
Yeah.
I haven't
Good idea.
But no, I thought it was lovely.
The first night was much worse. Today was much better. I didn't like struggle to push out notes tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank
yeah,
you so
thank
much
you.
For having me. Yeah.